Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 6 minutes after 11 p.m. here on a Sunday night. It's June 4th, 2017. This is the WGN Radio Theater Program, number 186 in the series. To my right, the vivacious, effervescent Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl. What's
up? Good to see you.
Thank you. You too.
And we have Shante Garth, our producer, in the booth. So hello, Shante. And look who is here.
I have arrived.
With us right now, Mike Gastella.
We've rolled out the red carpet.
He's a real person.
I am.
He's not just something that we is on our figment of our imagination. Mike Gastella, who is responsible for, he sort of sets up all of these shows ahead of time. So these classic radio shows, the quality that you're hearing, he takes the original 16-inch transcription discs. He does a transfer. He does a digital remastering.
Well, a lab does a transfer for me.
Right.
But then I take what the lab has done, and then I clean that up.
You know, what you're hearing on the air, these shows are from the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. And Mike, he lives in the past.
Yeah,
yeah,
I
pretty
do.
Much. He just takes these radio shows, cleans them up. That's why they sound so good. I appreciate that, Mike.
Thank you.
I know our listeners do as well. We pride ourselves on great quality. You know, there are other people that play classic radio shows all over the country. And you know what? I applaud them when the quality is good. But when the quality is bad, I go, that's
you know, one
good.
Day maybe on Facebook, I'll do a side-by-side. We can do a little bit of A, B, and I'll play the original of what I got, and then I'll play what I've processed, maybe like a 10-second clip on Facebook, and then we'll be able to hear the difference.
That's a great idea.
And yeah. Mike works at Goodman. Goodman. Mike works at Columbia.
I do.
Because he teaches this. He teaches this at Columbia.
Not specifically restoration, but audio.
Yeah.
I'm a sound engineer by trade. I used to record orchestras and such.
Yeah. Well, tonight here on the WGN Radio Theater, we have three classic radio shows that Mike digitally remastered. The first one is A Good Mystery with the Sealed Book. And actually, I did some research on this particular episode called Devil's Island, starring Philip Clark. It originated from this station, WGN. They did it in the WGN studios. Now, I'm not sure if it would have been here or at Bradley Place back in 1945, but this particular episode originated on WGN. So we have that for you to start things off. Then after that, it's My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball from 1948. Then it's Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, starring in Bold Venture. All of this brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars as Nate Lambert in the upcoming film Pacific Rim Uprising, the sequel to 2013 film Pacific Rim.
Okay.
And the winner will get a $25 gift certificate for Lumel Nottis.
Oh, boy, I could use a piece of pizza right now.
Me too.
I'm hungry.
I always
I didn't
like
have any
pizza.
Dinner.
Well, you should
so
have had
I'm
some
hungry.
Pizza.
I know. So.
You had some beef jerky.
I did. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. All right. So if you know who this actor is, give us a call, 312-981-7200, and win a pizza. Here's a hint. He's Clint's son, and you can hear him here in a supporting role from 2016's Snowden.
Next door is NTOC. Defense. That's where you'll be working. Over here, we have Rock, our offense. Now I move between the two.
All right.
That was a pretty big clue you gave there.
Yeah, well. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Who is that actor? We'll be right back.
We are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play that one more time.
Next door is NTOC. Defense. That's where you'll be working. Over here we have Rock, our offense. Now I move between the two.
And we're going to talk to Yolanda. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How about yourself?
Great. Good to hear from you. So who do you know who that actor is?
Scott Eastwood.
Scott Eastwood is exactly right. And Yolanda, you are a winner.
I look a lot alike, don't you?
I was going to say you and Clint, almost twins.
Well, me and Scott.
Okay, let's go with Scott. He's a little younger.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to allow that. Yolanda, you are the winner here. You've won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25. It's home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, my favorite. And you can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Thank you so much for calling, and we hope you have a great pizza on us.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thanks, Yolanda. Before we get into this episode of The Sealed Book, a couple of announcements. So Dan Jaffe was going to be here today. Something came up. He couldn't be here. And Dave's a little under the weather. So Dan and Dave will be here next week. So we are sending get well wishes to Dave. And they'll be here, and they'll pick another winner. It'll be actually, will it be...
Well, I don't
May's
know how.
Winner. I
think it's May's winner.
Yeah,
it's
May's
from
winner.
May. I don't know if they're going to win a pick one for May and one from June.
Maybe.
We'll see how it goes because it'll already be like mid June. So
yeah. We'll
let you know. But either way, they will be here next Sunday and they will pick at least one winner for an entire
possibly
year supply.
Possibly two. Maybe
of
we'll
Cat's
do both.
Pride.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right. So just want to let you know that. The other thing is, Mike and I were talking a little while ago about what we're going to maybe do for Halloween. And we thought it would be really interesting to play an interview that I had. We talked about this last night. I had an interview with Lucille Fletcher, who was married for a time, about 8 or 9 years. She was married to Bernard Herrmann. And Bernard Herrmann used to be the main conductor of the CBS Orchestra. And he also did a lot of work for Alfred Hitchcock and for Orson Welles. A lot of great themes. He actually did the theme to Psycho and some other great movies for Alfred Hitchcock. And she was a writer of radio scripts. And the most famous radio script she ever wrote was Sorry, Wrong Number. And Agnes Moorehead played that role on radio on Suspense. She wrote a lot for Suspense. And three of these stories that she wrote for Suspense, two of them were super popular. One was Sorry, Wrong Number. The other one was The Hitchhiker. Orson Welles starred in that. And then she did two other ones that were really great, too. Fugue in C Minor and The Search for Henri Lefebvre. These were all stories that she wrote. Now, I have all of them. And I think for Halloween, we're going to play the interview, parts of the interview, where she talks about these particular episodes. So you'll get her sort of recollection of why she wrote these stories and what her motivation was and what the impetus was to it. And, you know, because like I was telling you yesterday, with Sorry, Wrong Number, she used to go to the grocery store when she'd get milk for her baby and a newborn baby. And there was this really irritating woman there, and she was always complaining. And she said, I'm going to write a story about her. And she did. She wrote Sorry, Wrong Number about it. So she kind of explains where she got the kernel of thought for these stories. And it's very interesting. And I thought maybe that would be one of the shows for Halloween. We'll do, of course, a two-part show, one on Saturday, one Sunday. But I think that would be fun to play the Lucille Fletcher interview that I had with her and then play Sorry, Wrong Number, The Hitchhiker, and one of these other ones, either Fugue in C Minor or Search for Henri Lefebvre. All right, so just we're excited about it. Me and Mike are going to get together and pull out that interview that's on DAT tape.
It is.
It's on DAT tape.
Yep.
That's how I used to record back then. Because, I mean, this was in the 80s that I recorded that interview. So,
yeah, see what you can do with it.
The
interviews
are pretty fascinating.
Oh, yeah,
it's pretty interesting because I've heard a lot of them. And, I don't know the history necessarily of all these writers and actors and such. So the interviews are great.
I've probably interviewed 200 or more people from these days, like Richard Crenna and, you know, Lucille Fletcher and, you know, sound effects men like Ray Erlenborn. You know, we talked about doing sound effects. And I have interviews with so many people from those days, you know, producers, directors, writers. And I don't plan because the way the show is set up, we really only have enough time to talk about the shows and to play one show per hour.
You know, maybe you can just do little excerpts
that's
from
what
it
I
rather than
do.
A whole, you know, yeah. you know, we don't sit here for the yeah. whole interview, but if you play a portion that is meaningful to the show, you know.
I think that's the way to go
yeah,
with
I think
it,
so
yeah.
too.
All right, so we are going to start things out tonight with a sealed book. Now, this was a mystery and sort of terror radio show. It came to radio for just one season in 1945. And it was produced and directed by Jock McGregor. It was heard on the Mutual Network, but it originated out of WGN right here, this station. So the program we're going to air aired and not way back in 1945. Now, Philip Clark was the mysterious silent keeper of the book in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. Now, the scripts were by Robert A. Arthur and David Kogan. That's the same duo that brought us The Mysterious Traveler and The Strange Dr. Weird. So well, this is going to be fun. Let's tune this in. It's called The Devil's Island from April 8th, 1945. As I say, this originated on WGN. Here's part one now of The Sealed Book.
The Sealed Book.
Once again, the keeper of the book is ready to open the ponderous volume in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. All the strange and mystifying stories of the past, the present, and the future. Keeper of the book, what tale will you tell us this time?
What tale shall I tell you? I have here tales of every kind. Tales of murder, of madness, of dark deeds and events strange beyond all belief. Let me see. Yes, here's a tale for you. A story of a small and desolate island off the coast of New England and the people who lived on it. The title of the tale is Devil Island. Here is the tale as it was told by Anne Drake and is written in the sealed book. It all began on that bleak
autumn day when I hired a motorboat to take me out to the island, Devil Island. The bleak-looking island which lay ahead and belonged to the Drake family for 200 years was to be my new home. I kept staring at it, wondering what it would be like to live on this island with my father, whom I'd never seen. 20 minutes later, the boatman had landed me at the dock and left. Towering above me was a high cliff, and on top of it was the house, a huge stone mansion that looked as old and weather-beaten as a medieval castle. I climbed the steep, rocky path that led from the dock to the house. Hello, I'm...
Don't tell me. Anne, I've recognized you anyplace. You look exactly like your mother.
Are you my father?
Yes. Are you disappointed?
Oh, no. No, of course not.
Come into the drawing room. Your stepmother and uncle are waiting to meet you. Hester, Henry.
Anne.
I want you to meet my daughter, Anne.
Anne, this is a great pleasure.
Thank you, Uncle Henry.
Anne, I'm your stepmother, and I can't tell you how happy I am to have you here. Won't you call me Hester?
Thank you. I'd like to.
Oh, Hester. And let me introduce you to the remaining member of the household, Anne. This is Abel. He served the family for 30 years. He can't talk, but he understands what you're saying. Oh. Abel? This is my daughter.
Hello, Abel.
Oh, Anne, it's going to be wonderful having you here. You're just what Drake Manor needs to make it live again. I do hope we'll be able to make you happy here.
The weeks slipped by, and I was happy. I spent the days reading with Father and taking long walks with Uncle Henry, and being taught cooking by Hester. And at night, Uncle Henry and I would play chess.
Well, that's another game for you, Anne. The trouble is, I taught you how to play the game too well.
Oh. It looks as though another Northeaster is on its way.
Yes, it does.
Would you like me to draw the curtains, Uncle Henry?
If you will, Anne. That window over there seems to be... He's there, looking in at me.
Who, Uncle Henry? There's no one at the window.
Can't you see him? He's beckoning to me.
But there's no one there. Here, I'll draw the curtains. Is that better?
He can't see me now. But he's still out there, waiting for me.
Who is?
Your uncle, Richard.
Uncle Richard? But he's been dead for 15 years.
Yes, I know. And now he's come for me.
Oh, Uncle Henry, you only imagined you saw him.
Perhaps the same thing is happening to me that happened to the others.
What happened to the others?
Your grandfather, Daniel, Aunt Harriet, Uncle Richard. They all died insane.
Oh. Oh, no. No, it can't be.
They did, Anne. There's a strain of insanity in the Drake family. Aunt Harriet, for weeks before she died, kept screaming that Grandfather Daniel was trying to pull her into the grave.
Oh.
And Uncle Richard, he died crying out that Aunt Harriet was at the window calling
him. Oh, no, no.
They all died during a storm like this one. And now my time has come. Richard is waiting for me. I'll be the next of the Drakes to die.
Please, Uncle Henry, you mustn't say things like that.
Oh, Anne, I'm so afraid of insanity. I'm dying.
Uncle Henry, I'll spend all of my time with you now. We'll end this nightmare you're living in.
The only end to it will be death.
Uncle Henry never spoke of his terrible fear again. But in the weeks that followed, he grew haggard, became frightened at the sound of a door opening. Then one day, another northeaster set in. By nightfall, it had whipped itself into a gale. At midnight, I woke suddenly to hear Uncle Henry speaking to someone in his room.
Richard, stop tapping on my window. Go away, do you hear? Why can't you leave me alone? I don't want to go with you. No, not yet.
I quickly opened my door.
Please,
I stepped into the hall.
Don't take me now.
Uncle Henry's voice grew wilder and wilder as I approached his room.
Why don't you go away? You're dead. Dead. You have no right to bother the living.
Uncle Henry, let me in.
No.
It's Anne.
No.
Uncle Henry, please unlock the door.
I won't go with you, Richard. My time hasn't come yet. No, I won't. You can't make me.
Uncle Henry.
Why are you raising my window? No, Richard. Don't come in. Stay away from me.
Uncle Henry. Uncle Henry.
Anne, what is it? What's wrong?
Oh, Father, do something. It's Uncle Henry. He was screaming and now he...
Come here, dear. Hush. Now, hush.
No. The door's locked. I'll have to break it down.
Yes. Yes, Anne. He's dead.
Here in the island burying grounds of six generations of Drakes, we place the remains of our beloved brother and uncle, Henry Drake, secure in the knowledge that in thy arms he shall find everlasting.
Are you scared, Lisa?
I'm always scared when I'm with you, Carl.
I'm scary.
I'm scared.
All right, that's the first portion of The Sealed Book with Devil Island, starring Philip Clark from 1945. We'll get back to it in just a minute, but first, these words. All right, we have a text in line. If you have anything you want to ask us, and if you want to request a certain classic radio show, that type of stuff, we get back to pretty much everybody. The text in line is 312-981-7200, a great way to connect with us. We're here. We read all the texts. Lisa reads them to me because I, you know.
He needs help.
Yeah, I need a lot of help. we also have a website for this show, WGNRadioTheater.com. Check out our website. But here's something we really would like to ask our listeners. We have thousands and thousands. We have hundreds of thousands of listeners out there. And we only have 2,250 Facebook likes. That's all we have. That's really, We have a couple hundred thousand listeners, and we have 2,250 Facebook likes.
So what is it?
Wait a minute. Don't go
No, it's not enough.
Well,
we need a lot more.
But if you beat me, then I got to go mine.
How many
this
do you
is
have?
Not a competition,
How many
Roger?
Do you have, Roger?
Who says so? 2,258.
We're right about the same.
Yeah. Here.
Well.
Roger, I think the competition has begun. You started.
You guys are too powerful for me.
I know.
Way
we're very
too
strong.
Powerful.
Did you see the muscles on Lisa?
Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
Look
right?
at those
They're
things.
Just
that's
bulging
why you stay
out of my sweater.
That's why you stay at least an arm's length away from her.
Yes,
I've noticed that.
That's the reason.
Yeah.
Lisa has nothing on Arnold Schwarzenegger when it comes to the muscles.
Yeah, we're kind of like the same. We're built almost the same.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Except you're like a cat. You move so fast.
Oh yeah.
Schwarzenegger takes an hour for him to move.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, what I was about to ask our listeners to do, and they could do this for you too, Roger.
No, they
because
can.
They
no,
like.
No, they're done with me. They got to do it for you.
Okay. Well. We really, really want to build our likes on our WGN Radio Theater page,
you
which is
know
at
how
Facebook.
Exactly how many?
Okay,
we
how
have?
Many exactly?
I'm going to tell you right,
all right
now.
Drum roll.
Okay, we have 2,254. Roger.
Oh, wow.
Got us beat by four.
That was fast.
Yep, yeah. I'm quick.
So here's the goal. By the end of the night, we want to have 2,300.
Okay, I
so
think
that's
only, doable.
It's just like 50
And then
more.
Roger
that's
will be salivating, which
so,
is really fun.
I know there's more than 50
I'll be
people
sitting in the
out
corner
there.
Whimpering.
I know, I like that, Roger.
Thank you.
Right, there's more than there's
good.
More than 50 people out there that
yeah,
could
let's,
do
let's
this
do
for
this.
Us tonight. So please log on to Facebook. I'm not above begging. I will get on my hands and knees.
Well, you know, it's kind of ironic because you're not on Facebook and you're asking them to go onto their Facebook.
Yeah, well, I don't do Facebook because I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm not good with technical stuff like that.
Right.
I don't do Twitter or hashtagging
I
or
know. I'm
any
aware.
Of that kind of
I'm
stuff.
Aware.
But Lisa shows me the Facebook.
I sure do. And I read aloud.
Yeah.
Kind of. I'm kind of like an audiobook.
So
right
please log on to Facebook right and just search WGN Radio Theater. Our page will come up. There's fun stuff there. And then please like us. We want to get to 2,300, a nice round number
That's
by the end
perfect.
Of the night.
We would love that.
Okay. All right. When we come back, it's the conclusion to the sealed book.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
That's you and me, Lisa.
That's us.
You and I. Remember?
You
Rick
and me.
James?
I was thinking you and me against the world.
Oh, no.
Sometimes it feels like.
What is that from?
You and me
what
against
is that?
The world.
That's got to be some kind of a.
Roger, when all the others turn their backs and walk away.
Geez,
you should
why
count
you hit
on
me
to
things.
Stay. And when one of us is gone.
It's
and one of us is left
minute,
to carry
no.
on.
Oh, man. Come on, brain. You
Remember
and me against
me.
The world.
Yeah.
You and me against the world.
Sean Tate, can you find that for us?
Mm. Oh, it's Diane. No,
Warwick?
No. From Canada.
What?
Was it from Canada or Australia?
I don't know. What you're
All right, well,
about.
She's
from Canada or
here's what we'll do. We'll figure it out after the conclusion because we got to get
Helen
into
Reddy.
This show.
Helen.
Thank you. It's Helen Reddy. Got
sorry
it.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Roger, you're so slow.
My brain was totally in a different direction. I'm so. You got it. Wow, just like a woman.
There it is.
Just
listen.
Changing the subject.
Listen.
Oh, wait, we don't have time. We have to get into
All
the
right.
show.
We got a show to do.
We have to
All right, we'll
because
do it on
this
the
is
next,
a really long segment.
On the next music.
All right,
break.
Let's get back now to the sealed book.
Oh, dear. Life in this house won't be the same without Henry.
Father, Uncle Henry was terribly frightened for weeks before he died.
Ben, whatever are you talking about?
It all began during that northeaster we had last month. Uncle Henry and I were playing chess.
But Anne, why didn't Henry tell me about those hallucinations he was having?
He didn't want to worry you. Father, did Aunt Harriet, Uncle Richard, and your father die insane?
Oh, Anne, Henry should never have told you about them. Promise me you won't worry about our hereditary trouble.
I'll try not to, Father.
We've lost Henry, but the three of us will go on
as before.
The three of us tried to go on as before, but an unspoken fear had crept into our lives. Often I turned to find Father and Hester watching me anxiously. Then a month after Uncle Henry's death, another storm lashed the island.
I'll be glad when this storm blows over. It's getting on my nerves.
Father, why don't we close up Drake Manor for a few weeks and take a vacation on the mainland?
You mean leave the island?
No, that's impossible, Anne. We have enough money to get along on the island, but not elsewhere.
But I have all that money. My mother left me. We could use that.
You won't receive that money until you're 21. That's 6 months from now. Besides...
Oh, Anne. Well, what are you staring at?
Look. Look at the window.
Eh?
It's Uncle Henry. He's beckoning to me.
Anne, there's no one at the window.
He's there, I tell you. He's there. Look. Now he's gone away. Oh, you saw him, didn't you? You must have.
Darling, you only imagined you saw
him. Oh, no, no, I did see him. He was beckoning to me, the way Uncle Richard beckoned to him. Means I'm going to be the next Drake to die.
Anne, what are you saying?
Oh, you mustn't talk like that. You just imagined you saw Uncle Henry. It was just an
hallucination. And I'm going insane, as he did.
Oh, no, no, don't say that. Anne, you must rid your mind of all these fears, of everything Henry told you. Promise me you won't think about it anymore.
That was a promise I couldn't keep. At night, I'd lie in the darkness of my room, thinking of everything that had happened, listening to the night noises. Then one night, I heard footsteps above me in the tower. That limp. Oh, that unmistakable limp. It was Uncle Henry in the tower. There was an icy coldness about the house as I climbed the steps to the tower. I opened the door. The tower was in complete darkness. But by a window, his face ghost-like in the moonlight, stood Uncle Henry.
Come to take you with me, Anne. Your time has come. The grave will wait no longer.
No. No.
Do not be afraid. Your death is not a thing to be feared, but to be welcome.
No. No, stay away from me.
I cannot return to the grave without you. Give me your hand.
No. No. No.
Martin Drake, hearing Anne's screams, rushed up to the tower of the old mansion to find her lying unconscious on the floor. After Martin and Hester had taken the girl back to her bed, Martin went to the mainland. At dawn, he returned with a doctor and waited impatiently for him to finish examining Anne.
I've just given her a sedative, Mr. Drake. She's asleep now.
Will she be all right, Doctor?
Afraid she's on the borderline of insanity.
Oh, no.
And I'm afraid in a case of this type, where there is inherited insanity, there's very little that can be done.
Sleepyhead. It's about time you were waking up.
Oh, hello, Father. How long have I been asleep?
A little over 10 hours. It's just getting dark outside.
Is the doctor still here?
No, Anne. He left hours ago.
And, darling, he says you're going to get well.
Why, of course you are. Now you'd better get some more rest. Good night, darling.
A moment later, they were gone. I was alone again. Alone in the dark. And all I could think of was... I was going insane. Perhaps I was already mad. The hours passed. The very stillness of the house made my heart pound in my ears. And then... stillness was broken. That limp again. It was Uncle Henry in the tower. Back and forth from one end of the tower to the other, he limped. Then silence. I lay in the darkness waiting. Waiting. And then suddenly, the door to my room was opened. I wanted to scream, but I couldn't. Oh, Abel. Oh, Abel, what are you doing in my room? What are you trying to tell me? I don't understand. Oh, he's walking again. Abel, you hear him, don't you? You do hear it. I told them that Uncle Henry had come back from the grave, but they said I was just imagining it. You hear me now? He hasn't come back from the grave? But if he hasn't come back from the grave, and you hear what I hear. Abel, you don't mean that he's still alive. But that can't be true. You buried him yourself. I saw you. You mean you didn't bury him? That he wasn't in the coffin? Oh, but you must be wrong. When we broke into his room, Father found him. No, what? What do you mean, no? Are you trying to tell me something about Father? You are. What do you mean, Father, no? Father, no. You mean he isn't my father? But you must be wrong. Of course he is. That doesn't make sense. Why should he say he is my father if he isn't? What does he gain by it? My mother's estate. No, you must be wrong. Even if I were to die, he wouldn't get it. The estate would then go to charity. It's in mother's will. Why does he keep walking in the tower? He's driving me crazy. You mean they want to drive me crazy? But why? What reason could they have? If I were to become insane, he could have himself appointed my guardian, take over the estate. Is that it? It is. But Ava, if he isn't my father, where is my father? Is he dead? You mean he is dead? Then who are these three who say they're my father and stepmother and uncle? I don't understand, but no matter who they are, they'll kill me. They'll kill both of us if they learn we've discovered their secret. Abel, we've got to escape. But how? The only boat is locked and he has the key. Why are you handing me that flashlight? You mean the window. Signal the mainland for help. Yes, of course. Abel, you better go. We can't let them find you in here or they'll suspect. I'll keep signaling as long as the batteries last. I can't keep signaling much longer. For now, officer.
Andy, what are you doing out of bed? And with that flashlight?
Nothing at all.
You weren't signaling someone on the mainland, were you?
Oh, no. No, I just had the flashlight in case someone came in the room.
Why, you're trembling as though you were frightened. You're not afraid of your own father, are you, dear?
No, of course not.
Now, no more walking around. I want you to get some sleep. Good night, dear.
Was gone, taking the flashlight with him. Did he suspect that I knew? The hours seemed endless until the first rays of dawn came. Would rescue come with it, or had my signals gone unnoticed? After I dressed, I went to the window, and then I saw it. A strange launch tied up at the dock. Suddenly frightened as the callers leave before I could speak to them, I rushed out of the room. They ran down the stairs. I could hear voices in the drawing room.
Well, Sheriff, if Dr. Arnold has spoken to you about my daughter's mental condition, I'm quite sure you'll understand.
Don't listen to him. He isn't my father.
Anne,
what was that, miss?
I tell you, he's not my father. He's an imposter, and so is she.
Oh, Martin, she's having another one of her spells.
Now, please, Hester.
They're acting, I tell you. The moment I set foot on the island, they began their plan to drive me insane. First, they gain my love and trust. And then they had Uncle Henry confide to me his fears. And when Uncle Henry was found dead, they told me...
Who says I'm dead? I've never felt better.
Oh, Sheriff, allow me to introduce my brother, Henry.
Well, Miss Drake, your Uncle Henry doesn't look very dead.
He wasn't. They just pretended he was. They even buried an empty coffin to make me think I was attending his funeral.
I really think you should take Anne up to her room, Hester. She needs rest.
Oh, Sheriff, they're lying, the three of them.
Have you any proof, Miss Drake?
Yes. Yes, Abel will tell you. He knows.
I'm afraid that Abel can't tell you anything, dear. The poor chap fell off Devil's Cliff into the sea early this morning.
Oh. You pushed him off the cliff so that he couldn't talk.
Martin, the excitement's too much, Laura. She's getting worse.
Sorry to trouble you, Mr. Drake, but it was my duty to investigate those signals.
Well, Sheriff, you can't leave me here. They will drive me insane.
I assure you, Sheriff, she'll be given the very best of care. We have a specialist coming to see her next
week. Oh, no, Sheriff, wait. Wait, please.
Now, Miss Drake, I think you'd better stop.
No, wait. I just want to show you this gold locket. Look, I'll open it. You see what's inscribed in it.
Oh, yes, for my daughter in commemoration of her 5th birthday. What are you driving at, Miss Drake?
If that man's my father, if he claims he is, ask him what my middle name is. It's inscribed in the locket.
Well, just to humor her, Mr. Drake, what is her middle name?
Her middle name? Well, frankly, Sheriff, I seem to have forgotten.
Oh, he hasn't forgotten it, Sheriff. He never knew it. He isn't my father.
Kind of strange you're not knowing your own daughter's middle name.
Well, it's just that, I have an awful memory for names.
So have I, but I know my kid's middle name. There's something peculiar about all this. I think you three and the girl better come with me to the mainland.
What for?
So I can do a little checking. If you're Martin Drake, as you say you are, there must be someone on the mainland who can identify you.
Now, see here, Sheriff, this is ridiculous. Just because...
I said you're going to the mainland with me.
Well, I always said you were the weak link in the chain, Gerald.
Shut up, you fool.
It's no use, Gerald. The game is up. The trip to the mainland is more than we can stand. You just have to look at Hester's face to see that she agrees.
Who are you folks?
We're actors. Things having become difficult a few years ago, we accepted employment on this island from Mr. Drake. When he died, I thought of this little scheme. It really was a perfect plan until this fool slipped up on the girl's middle name. By the way, what is her middle name?
Why, according to this locket, she hasn't one. It's just inscribed to Anne.
And that is the story of Devil Island, as it is written in the sealed book. Because an imposter slipped up on a middle name that didn't exist, an almost perfect crime was prevented by Sheriff Williams, and an innocent girl was rescued from imprisonment and probable death. It was a small slip, but a fatal one. But the sound of the great gong tells me I must close the sealed book once again.
One moment, keeper of the book. What story will you tell us next time?
Next time? Are you sure you want to know? Perhaps my next story may be about you. For I have here all the stories that ever happened, and many that have yet to come to pass. But I'll find one for you in just a moment.
And now, keeper of the book, have you found the story that you'll tell next week?
Yes, I have found one. It's the story of two helpless old ladies in fear of their lives and the desperate measures to which they were driven in order to save themselves. The title of the tale is Escape by Death.
Be sure and be with us again next time when the great gong heralds another strange and exciting story from...
The Sealed Book.
The Sealed Book, written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan, is produced and directed by Jock McGregor.
All right, there you have it. That is The Sealed Book. It originated out of this radio station, WGN, back in 1945, April 8th, 1945. And Devil Island is the name of that show. Philip Clark as our host of The Sealed Book. Good mystery terror episode to start things off on a Sunday. Although pretty soon it'll be Monday. Lisa.
That's true.
Yeah, we work Saturday, we work Sunday, we work Monday.
It's grueling.
They work us. They work our vocal cords to the bone.
Yes,
right here, and
overworked,
we love every second of it, don't we? Here on WGN Radio,
yes,
don't we
indeed.
Love every second?
We
of
absolutely
it?
Do, and that's not a joke.
All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's much more right here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa Wolf. So what?
What was that?
You're pointing to the text line.
Was going to mention a few things on the text line if we've got a moment.
Yeah, our number, if you want to text us, 312-981-7200. Feel free to text us, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, feel free.
And what?
It doesn't cost any money.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good.
So what? You said somebody texted?
Okay, so somebody wants to hear The Death of Margot Lane, which is an escape episode.
No,
actually.
That's the shadow.
I was looking at something else. This was the suspense episode, Three Skeleton Key, but it's actually an escape episode.
Right, Escape Three Skeleton Key. Yeah. That's Vincent Price stars in. That's a story
exactly.
of these sort of these guys that work in a lighthouse. And they look out, you know, they're on an island and they look out and there's a ship coming their way, but the ship has no people on it, only rats.
Ooh.
And it comes aboard stops at the island and these rats all come out. And so they're caught in the lighthouse.
All
it's
right.
a great story.
And, you know, just looking through the text in line, people say the darndest things.
Yeah.
Somebody sent you an exercise routine for people over 60.
Okay. Well, I still have 7 years to go.
All right. So this
but
is
I'll,
really,
I'll
you
hang
want to
on
hear
to it?
It?
I'll hang on to it.
Well, here's what you have to do. With a 5-pound potato bag in each hand, you extend your arms straight out from the sides, then hold them there as long as you can.
Okay.
That's amongst actually, other things.
I used to do that as a kid in school. They used to have
really?
Us do that, yeah.
With potato bags?
No,
okay.
just weights and
with
stuff
weights.
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll
All
hang
right.
on to that till I turn
Great.
60.
So can we play a little Helen Reddy? Do we have that song queued up or no? See, that's why we have a great producer.
Helen Reddy.
Yeah, right, Roger?
Is Helen ready?
Yep.
Helen's ready.
Is Helen ready?
Helen's you
ready.
And me
and we've
the world.
See? Sometimes yeah. it feels like.
You
All right, we can
me.
Do it another time.
It's up to you. It's his show.
It's what? Yeah,
it's his show.
It's whose show?
Roger was right. Roger is right.
It's whose show?
Well, it's we're along. We're riding his coattails.
It's our show.
It's your show. Your
right.
meaning.
It's our your
plural.
Shoe. It's your shoe.
All right.
Shoe
so,
we're like, sure
all right. Here's Helen Reddy. Here we go. She's ready. I never heard the song, ever.
Are you kidding?
You're kidding.
What? Never. Where did you grow up?
Seriously.
What year was this from, Roger? Like the 70s?
70.
70-something.
Yeah, early 70s,
right.
I believe.
I never was a big Helen Reddy fan.
What the heck?
Somebody had texted in. This was something about, I think it was for her baby? For her daughter?
Hold on a second, I'll tell you.
Here it is.
This is 1974.
There you go.
Yeah, totally early.
Wasn't even born yet.
Right, so that's why. All right, well, thank you, Sean.
What was Helen Reddy's big tune? What was the big one?
This is a pretty big one.
I never even heard this
I
song.
Am Woman.
Oh,
I
yeah,
am
right.
Woman.
Right.
Watch
yeah, hear
me
roar.
Hear me roar.
Right. I remember
see
that
me
one.
Standing on the floor.
Yeah.
It, is that how it went?
Yeah.
Wow. I think we should have a music show, Roger. What do you think?
Yeah,
the Carpenters so. And Helen Reddy.
Over
it's
the
all
last
the
couple, last 3 weeks, I think we've talked about enough songs. We could do a whole show already.
Yeah.
Should we 1 week just play
like 60s music, 70s music? I have that on Sirius in my car. I've got the 60s,
but he
70s,
hasn't heard
80s.
Any of those because he wasn't born yet.
Right. We're going to have to enlighten him, Roger.
I was hatched in 1984.
Ba-dum-bum.
hang on a second.
Yeah. Thank you very
much. All right, so got any jokes for me?
He's a shell of a man. What?
Roger, I need a joke in the next
hour. You know
hour.
What?
Roger will tell a joke.
No,
in the
my
next
problem
hour.
Is I either know the joke or the punchline.
But not
I don't
both.
Know the, yeah. And,
right.
And the ones that I remember, I can't say on radio.
Well, yeah.
Well, those
yeah.
that's the problem with Carl's jokes,
that's
too.
What Lisa always tells me these. She calls me during the week. She'll tell me these. These blue jokes.
Uh-huh.
Get out of here. Can't. That's not true.
She's going to do stand-up at
Zany's.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to do sit-down at Zany's. Have a couple of drinks.
I'll talk you listen.
Hey, guess what? Guess what, Roger? What? In our next hour,
ooh, what's coming
we
up?
Have Lisa's favorite classic radio show.
It's true.
It's yeah. We've shortened the name, though. Instead of My Favorite Husband, we're just calling it Dan.
I like it.
That's what we should call it.
Yeah. Yeah.
For Dan Wolf, her yeah, hubby.
Yeah, go.
Lucille Ball, she, of course, as we all know, Lucille Ball had a great career in movies before mm-hmm. she was ever on television. She did yeah. a lot of movies with Bob Hope and Red Skelton, and they offered her her own regular radio show back in 1948. They called it My Favorite Husband, and she teamed with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, a married couple, billed as two people who live together and like it. It was a very successful show. And when CBS said, hey, let's revamp this and put it on television with the two of you, she said, no, I won't do it without Desi. Yeah.
And she knew better because
yeah,
he was a success.
Which I'm sure Richard Denning wasn't too happy about.
Right.
You know that he went on to play the commissioner on Hawaii Five-0. Do you know
Ooh,
that?
Really?
Yeah, Richard Denning was the commissioner yeah. on Hawaii Five-0.
Not the name, the last name sound familiar.
Well,
I've been trying to place it.
He was also Mr. North on Mr. and Mrs. North on television.
Okay, I remember
But he
that.
Then yeah, later in life, when Hawaii Five-0 came yeah. on, you know the
original series.
Right, with
yeah.
Lord, what was his name? Something Lord? I can't remember.
Jack Lord.
Jack Lord, yeah. And so they said, we want you to do this on television, this My Favorite Husband. She mm-hmm. said, no, I'm not going to do that. So they did put it on television, My Favorite Husband, with Joan Caulfield and Barry Nelson. It didn't do well.
Yeah.
And she reworked the concept with the writers and some of her friends, and they put the show I Love Lucy on.
Yep.
With Desi.
Yep.
Because CBS did not think it would work with sort of this Latin mm-hmm. and very thick accent
yep.
guy. They were like, come on, please.
Yep.
And she was like, no, it's going to work. Trust me.
And she knew.
Yeah,
yep.
She knew what she was
master.
Doing. So we'll have an episode of My Favorite Husband for you coming up in the next hour.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 12:09. Happy Monday morning. And you know what? You'll get another classic radio show sent to you today if you're signed up to freeradioclassics.com. What is that? Well, it's a website that Lisa and I and Mike set up for our listeners to thank them for being a listener to this show. So if you are signed up to freeradioclassics.com, you will get an email today with a classic radio show embedded in it, digitally remastered, along with a picture of whoever that is in the classic radio show, the synopsis, the original broadcast date, and other fun stuff. Now, you know what, Lisa? I remembered what last week's classic email was. It was Dr. Christian. Remember
oh,
that?
That's exactly
listener
right.
was saying, hey, you don't play any Dr. Christian?
Yep.
We actually sent one last Monday.
You are absolutely right.
Now, I don't know what's being sent today. It's a surprise. You'll get it around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, somewhere around there. But if you haven't signed up to it, just go to freeradioclassics.com, put your name and your email, and hit send, and then you're going to get a confirmation email. Click that, and then you're all signed up. You'll get an email from me every Monday, which means 52 classic radio shows sent to your inbox every single year.
Yeah, it's fun. You get a surprise every Monday. It's
That's
like a present
right.
in the mail.
This hour, it's My Favorite Husband. And then in our third hour, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall star in Bold Venture, which is a great radio drama that they starred in. All of this is brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor reprises his role in the upcoming film Jurassic World 2, a sequel to the 2015 film Jurassic World.
All right, what do they win?
They are going to win a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
Wow. All right, 312-981-7200 is our number. This actor starred as the Fly.
I've become free. I've been released, and you can't stand it. You'll do anything to bring me down.
Who is that great actor? 312-981-7200. Give us a call. We'll find our winner after these words.
We're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play that clip one more time.
I've become free. I've been released, and you can't stand it. You'll do anything to bring me down.
And we've got John on the phone. Hey, John.
Hi there.
How are you?
Just dandy. And yourself?
I'm dandy, too.
That's great.
Oh, so who's that actor?
That's Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum is exactly right, and you are a winner. We are so thrilled to give you a Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set. It's the best of the best of the best. It's produced by Carl Amari, and it stars Stacey Keach, and we think you're going to love it. So congratulations, and thank you so much for calling in and staying up with us tonight.
Hey, Jeff?
No, it's John. Jeff Goldblum is the answer. John?
Hey, John.
Is he gone?
Yeah, he's gone. You know what I was going to say to John?
What?
That the character he played was
Who
a
played?
Real... Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah?
In the movie The Fly.
Yeah?
He was a real pest.
Yeah.
All right.
That was funny.
That was it. That's all
that
I wanted
really
to say.
That was really good.
All right, so it's time for My Favorite Husband Situation Comedy Series. Premiered in 1948, Lucille Ball, Richard Denning were the stars. Let's tune into part one of this episode. From November 20th, 1948, George attends a teenage dance. Part one of My Favorite Husband.
We present Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband, a new series based on the delightful stories of Isabel Scott Rorick's gay, sophisticated Mr. and Mrs. Cugat, two people who live together and like it. Starring Miss Ball with Richard Denning. Now, let's drop in on the Cugats and see what they're doing. It's morning, and Liz has just sat down to breakfast. George is still upstairs getting dressed.
Oh, Katie, did you see the paper this morning?
No, Mrs. Cugat, I haven't seen a paper in weeks.
Who do you think got married?
Little Abner and Daisy May?
No, Madeline Smith and Jack Carroll. She always did want to be Madeline Carroll.
Well, so did I, but I never got nearer than Marjorie Maine.
Oh, you don't understand, Katie. This is my marriage.
It is?
Yes, I introduced them. I invited them to parties together, and I loaned her money for a new dress on the night I decided he should propose. And now they're married.
Congratulations, Mrs. Cougar.
Thank you. I deserve it.
Do you think they can manage the honeymoon all by themselves?
Well, I guess I do sort of arrange things a lot, don't I, Katie? But I can't help it. I love to help a girl get a man. You know, it drives George crazy. He says I'm always teaching some mouse to build a better man trap.
That's a good one. Say, I wonder what's keeping Mr. Cougat this morning.
Don't know why he should take so long to shave. He has a real sharp blade in the razor. I know because I use it to scrape some chewing gum off my shoe.
Oh, here he comes now. I'll go get his coffee.
Well, good morning, George, darling.
Oh, you know me. I didn't think you'd recognize me behind all this adhesive tape.
Why, I'd recognize my little husband any place. Ooh, you smell nice, George. What do you have on your face? Yardley's aftershave?
No, Wrigley's Juicy Fruit.
Now, don't blame me, George. You cut yourself every morning. You ought to get some Blue Serge Band-Aids to match your suit.
That's very funny.
My, aren't we grumpy this morning?
Well, I have reason to be. Yesterday, the teller at the bank told me you were overdrawn $50.
That's the trouble with those tellers. They're always telling somebody something.
Well, what about it?
No wonder they put them in cages.
No, why? Liz, I can't think of any reasonable explanation for your being overdrawn.
Neither can I. And I've been trying to think of one longer than you have.
No, Now, I don't want to suggest anything radical, but suppose you just tell me the truth.
Say, I never thought of that. Huh. All right, George. I loaned the money to Madeline Smith to get a new dress and hairdo so her boyfriend would propose.
Oh, why don't you stop meddling in people's affairs, Liz? Mm-hmm. Must you be an incurable matchmaker?
But I want everybody to be married.
Why? Isn't there enough suffering in the world?
You don't mean that, George Cugat. I want everybody to be as happy as we are.
Well, that's sweet of you, dear, but not all couples are capable of the kind of happiness we know.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, I mean that our happiness has come about because of one wonderful person.
Oh, George.
One person who is tolerant of little human faults, who is understanding, sweet, considerate.
And beautiful?
Absolutely.
Who is it, George?
Me. I'm late for the bank. And listen, will you promise to watch your bank balance?
Oh, don't worry. I'll take care of that $50 I'm overdrawn. I'll send them a check for it.
Oh. Look, I'll handle the money. You just concentrate on staying out of other people's affairs. Stop giving people advice on things you know nothing about.
All right, George, I promise.
Now, who can that be?
Oh, it's Sally Hopkins. I saw her through the window.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Let me sneak out the back door.
Now, George, Sally's a very sweet girl.
Yeah, I know, but I do something to her. All she does is look at me and go, tee.
Well, she's adolescent, that's all.
Well, let her in. We'll have one of our usual brilliant conversations.
Hello, Sally.
Hello, Mrs. Cugat.
Good morning, Sally. Goodbye, Sally.
Well, that seems to cover everything. Kiss me goodbye, George.
I'll be home for dinner, dear.
Oh, gee, you're lucky, Mrs. Cugat. Mr. Cugat is so super. He's so much more worldly than the boys I know, like Corny Jones or Icky Williams.
Well, I should hope so. He's a little older, too.
Oh, I know. He's middle-aged.
What?
He must be pushing 25.
Oh, yes, he's pushing 25, all right. In fact, he's pushed it almost all the way to 40. What's on your mind, Sally?
Mrs. Cugat, I have a problem. I need your advice.
Oh, Sally, I'm awfully sorry, but I promised George I wouldn't advise people on things I don't know anything about.
But I wanted to know about men.
How do you like that? You hit my specialty.
The secret, Mrs. Cugat. How do you get that certain something like you have?
Why, Sally, how would a girl your age know if I had that certain something?
I can tell by the way my mother looks at my father when my father looks at you.
Well, don't worry, Sally. You'll have it when you get to be my age. I suppose you think I'm pushing 25, too.
Oh, no. A woman can always tell another woman's age.
Next question.
Mrs. Cugat, please, tell me everything you know about men.
All right, Sally. The world is populated by two kinds of people, men and women.
Oh, gosh, you know everything.
I have a surprise for you, Sally. There's more.
There is?
Oh, this may take longer than I thought. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Nature very cleverly made half the people men and the other half women.
Why?
So they could play mixed doubles at tennis.
Oh!
Now, men are divided into three types. Husbands, fiancés, and go-get-him girls.
Well, how can you tell them apart?
Easy, by the way they open the door to let you out of the car.
Oh, really?
Yes. The bachelor walks around the car and opens the door for you. The fiancé reaches across you and pushes the door open from the inside. And the husband gets out, stands on the sidewalk, and says, "Well, we haven't got all night."
Well, that's wonderful to know, Mrs. Cugat, but I wanted to speak to you about one particular man. Jimmy Matthews.
Oh, he's really something, huh?
Something? He's really terrific. Sensation. Colossus. You know what I mean?
Oh, but Natch, he's a pash.
Jimmy has red hair, big sad eyes, and floppy ears. He looks just like Gregory Peck.
He sounds more like Lassie.
What seems to be your problem, Sally?
Oh, there's a keen party tomorrow night, and Jimmy hasn't asked me.
Well, Sally, if you really want Jimmy to ask you, make him jealous. Tell him you already have a date with someone else.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. But there's nobody left.
Well, how about those two boys you mentioned, Icky and Sticky and...
Corny and Icky? Oh, no. Icky's too corny and Corny's too Icky. Besides, they both have dates.
Well, be resourceful, Sally. Make up a name, any name. Jimmy will never know the difference.
But I couldn't do that. That would be lying. You don't ever lie to a man. Do you?
Sally, the world is populated by two kinds of women. Liars and old maids. Look, you'll never really have to have a date with him. Just say you do.
Oh, gee, you're a lifesaver, Mrs. Cougar.
Well, now run along, Sally, and let me know how it all comes out.
I'll get it, Katie.
Sally, what happened?
Don't you ever speak to me again.
Oh, please, Sally, what happened? Did you tell him you had a date?
Yes, I told him. And he said...
Well, now, why would he say a thing like that? Now, pull yourself together, girl. What did he say?
He said...
Well, I guess that's what he said, all right.
He did not. He said, congratulations.
Oh, well, now, wait a minute. There's something wrong here. The jealousy angle always works.
We were sharing a soda, and when I told him, he pinched my straw.
Dad. But don't you see, Sally, he pinched your straw because he was angry.
No, he wasn't. He was thirsty. And now when I don't go to the party, he'll know I never had a date at all.
Oh, now, take it easy. We'll figure some way out of this. Who did you tell him you had a date with?
I told him the first name that came to my mind.
What was it?
George Cougar.
George Cougar? Oh, Sally, I ought to pinch your straw.
I'm going to be an old maid and it's all your fault.
Well, I guess it is my fault, Sally. But I'm not going to let you down. Now, you'll have your date.
Who with? I can't go with Icky or Corny.
You're going with Smoothie.
Smoothie? I never even heard of him.
I'm talking about the smartest date on the block, Smoothie Cougar. What have you got to say to that? I thought you would. Well, I'll see you after dinner, Sally. I have to figure out how to break the news to Smoothie. That's going to be rough. Katie, that was a wonderful dinner. Gee, I hope I got George in a good mood.
Mrs. Cougar, you don't mean you haven't told him about his date with Sally yet?
No, I'm going in and break it to him now. Wish me luck. George, darling, how are you feeling?
Huh? Oh, fine, just the same as when you saw me 2 minutes ago.
Oh, George, would you like me to get you a cigar?
No, thanks. I rarely smoke 2 cigars at once.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Get one for yourself, though, if you like.
No, thank you. Don't read, George. Talk to me.
Oh, let me finish the paper.
No, talk to me now. I want to sit on your lap. There.
Great. There's nothing I like better than a newspaper that's been sat on.
Kiss me. Doesn't that take your mind off the paper?
What paper?
That's better. Gee, it's nice sitting here on your lap, George. You know, you've got the nicest lap in the whole world. Where'd you ever get it?
Sears Roebuck.
Oh, you're cute. Hold me tight, George. Tighter. Tighter.
Oh, but Liz.
Go on, pretend I'm a champagne bottle and pop my cork.
Now, wait a minute, Liz. I'm not this attractive. Now, what's on your mind?
Oh, you're so smart.
I thought so. Okay, let's have it.
Well, George... Poor little Sally Hopkins was over here this morning, and she couldn't get a date for the party tonight. So I got her one.
Liz, I told you not to mess around in other people's affairs.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, that's such a dirty trick to play on anybody. You mean you really palmed that giggling goon off on some poor sucker?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I'd like to hear what he says when he finds out what he's stuck with.
You will.
Oh, that's the funniest thing I ever heard. Who is it?
You.
All right, that's the first portion of My Favorite Husband from November 20th, 1948. You know, you'll hear the last name is Cougat on here, but the first season, they were named Liz and George Cougat. And then because there was a little confusion with the band leader, Xavier Cougat, they decided, you know what, let's change the last name to Cooper. So we've played many of these broadcasts, and most of them say Cooper, because they're not from the first season, and this particular episode is originally sponsored by Jell-O. We'll get back to Lucille Ball and Richard Denning.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, you know what? We're making some progress to our number of 22. We wanted to get to 2,300.
We're at 2,276.
Okay, 20. This is the Facebook likes on WGN Radio Theater. So if you go to Facebook and search WGN Radio Theater, there's some fun pictures and all kinds of stuff there. And we would love it if you'd like us, because we want to try to get to 2,300 likes by the end of the night.
I just posted a picture of Carl and me.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Which one? The one we took the other day?
Yeah, the one we took last night with Snapchat.
Oh, so it's like a goofy picture?
Yeah, it's funny, though. All right. Check it out.
So check out a goofy picture of Lisa and I on our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook, search WGN Radio Theater, and when you're there, please like us. All right, we're tuning into My Favorite Husband, Lucille Ball and Richard Denning, in a great series that aired in the late 1940s. And then, as I say, made a transition to television, but not with Lucille Ball and Richard Denning. And also, we had a very smart listener text in and said that Richard Denning, I had said he was the commissioner on Hawaii Five-0, but actually he was the governor. Yeah, okay,
right.
So I goofed up there. But Richard Denning was on Hawaii Five-0.
You know, this person, if we're going to get real here, she or he, I don't know, said, okay, about Richard Denning. And then she or he also said,
yeah,
Helen Reddy is so lame. Stick to old-time radio.
Okay.
And I just wrote, yeah, thanks for the correction. And then I thought, you know, it was just a moment to reminisce.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we do here on the show. We take short moments and we reminisce.
Yeah, we don't play music too often on the show. Very, very
rarely
do we play.
It was about 15
seconds.
But
honestly, you know, I know Helen Reddy was a very, very popular singer.
Yes.
But I don't recall that song. I mean, I remember the I Am Woman,
well, I mean,
Watch Me Roar,
hear
or whatever.
Me roar. You know,
whatever.
I had her
hair
album.
Watch.
I had her album.
Yeah.
It would be The Carpenters, Helen Reddy, you know.
Yeah.
Captain and Tennille. You know, it was all the same genre.
I liked
Captain
and Tennille.
Did you?
Yeah. Do you remember?
The Mouse song.
They had their own show, didn't they?
Yeah,
the Captain and Tennille show.
The Captain and Tennille show.
Right. It was like a variety.
Like the Sonny and Cher show.
Yeah,
same
it was like
kind
a variety show or something like that.
Yeah.
I remember. And he was kind of like.
Captain-like.
Yeah, he wore a hat, remember?
He wore the captain's hat, sure.
Did he wear, like, a sailor captain hat?
Yeah, it's like, you know, like Gavin McLeod wore on Love Boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Dave Player was talking about
He played
about
the piano
night.
And she sang.
Yeah.
I used to love Sonny and Cher.
Me too.
That was my favorite.
And remember Little Chastity would come running
yeah.
out?
Yeah, and then also
How
I like
things have changed.
Donnie and Marie Osmond.
Oh,
I, that
I still love them.
And then
you know,
was...
they're still performing, Donnie and Marie. They're,
Are they?
They're, I saw them here in Broadway in Chicago recently.
And I see her on the Weight Watchers ads or whatever.
Yes.
She looks great.
So does he.
My gosh.
They both still
She's
sing.
She's a cutie pie.
So they don't age somehow, those two.
Yeah, I like her better than him, though.
I kind of like him better.
Yeah.
Joseph, did you ever see the movie that Donnie Osmond did for
the
Joseph
and
the Technicolor
Dreamcoat?
He was Joseph.
Yeah.
He's... I still love that movie, and I still watch it.
I never
him.
Saw the movie.
I have a little crush on him.
Never saw the movie.
Oh.
My pal Jason Alexander from Seinfeld played it on Broadway, played Joseph in The Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Well, who was he?
He was Joseph.
He's Alexander yes. was Joseph?
Yes.
I picture Donny Osmond.
Let me just tell you, that guy is talented.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're reminiscing.
All right. Let's get
okay.
back, though, to My Favorite Husband.
Well, you didn't have to dump me on the floor.
Liz, this is the end. Now, I don't know what you've promised, but I'm not taking that teenager to a party, and that's that.
Oh, please, George.
That's no use running your fingers through my hair. The answer is no. Absolutely. Ouch! What are you doing?
I just pulled out a hair. I wonder how you'd look in a toupee.
Oh, whatever gave you that thought. I've got all my hair.
Well, you won't have if you keep saying no.
Now, Liz, don't be silly. The answer is still, ouch!
Take your choice, George. Either take Sally to the party, or you'll be known as Old Baldy.
Ooh, there's a gray one.
Oh, all right, I'll take her.
Now, don't worry, George. As soon as Jimmy Matthews sees you with her, he'll grab her away. I'll bet you 10 to 1 he doesn't even let you get inside the door.
Mr. Cougott, isn't this a keen party? I'm having such a keen time with all my keen friends. And that dance music's keen, too. What kind of a time are you having?
Keen. Say, where's this fellow of yours?
Gee, Mr. Cougott, you're a keen dancer.
Yeah, look, Sally, according to my bargain, a knight is supposed to ride up on a white bicycle and carry you away. Now, where is this Jimmy Matthews?
I don't know. Pardon me, I'll see if I can find him.
Okay, I'll wait here.
Hi, Sally.
Well, if it isn't little Jimmy Matthews.
Sally, may I have the next dance?
Sorry, I'm not dancing with children this evening. I prefer older men, like my date.
Your date? I thought that was your father.
Very amusing. Now, if you'll pardon me, I don't want to keep him waiting. He's very jealous. Goodbye.
Well, any luck? Did you find him?
I couldn't find him any place. Let's dance again. George, darling.
What time is it, Katie?
Almost 10 o'clock.
That's funny. George should have been home long ago.
Maybe he likes it at the party.
Oh, not George. Gee, I hope nothing happened to him. I think I'll call up and see how long ago he left.
Why, Mrs. Cougott, I think you're jealous of your husband being at that party.
Oh, Katie, I am not.
The way I got it figured, I got one of them phobias.
Oh, darn it, that character's on the party line again.
I get scared to death when I get up in high places. What have I got? Hydrophobia?
Oh, why can't we get a private phone? Every time I want to call, Lena the hyena's on the line.
Are you sure you're not jealous?
Oh, Katie, will you stop with that nonsense? I'll try it again. Ah, nobody's on it. Where's the dial tone?
Hello, big ears.
It's you. Are you using this phone?
No. I'm just holding it to my head so my ear won't get cold.
Well, I wish you'd get off. I want to use it.
I got rights, big ears. I happen to be talking on this line.
I don't hear anyone talking on the other end.
Of course not. The doctor's just listening. I'm being psychoanalyzed, hey.
No, I've heard everything. She's being psychoanalyzed, hey. This I gotta hear.
And every night I dream about Joe DiMaggio, Doctor. I dream he picks me up and swings me around. What does that mean? Ah. Joe DiMaggio picks me up and swings me around.
It means you look like an old bat.
Bessie Budinsky's back again. Butt out, you. Now let's see, Doctor. What else was there to tell you?
Oh, yeah, Doctor. I meant to tell you I won't be able to pay you anymore, hey.
Hey! Hey, I didn't say that. Doctor! Dr. Lassvogel! He hung up. I ought to scratch your eyes out. Where do you live, huh?
Wouldn't you like to know? Oh, I better call George before she gets the line again. Oh, hello?
Hello, Mrs. Cougat?
Yes?
Do you know that your husband is out with another woman?
What?
I called to tell you that a certain party is at a certain party with a certain party.
Well, that straightens everything out. And who are you, pray tell?
You don't know me. My name is Jimmy Matthews.
Oh, I know who you are. Sally's friend.
That's right. Well, I don't want to break up your home, Mrs. Cougat, but your husband is here at this party with my girl.
Well, Jimmy, you go in and take her away from him, and then send George home.
I tried to, but she wouldn't leave him. She's fallen for the big stiff.
Don't you dare call George a big stiff. Why, he's just like a brother to Sally.
Oh, yeah? Since when do you call a brother George darling?
Why, the big stiff. You stay right there, Jimmy. You've got yourself a date for the evening.
I have? Who with?
Me.
Oh.
Two can play at this jealousy business. Now, you wait for me in front.
How will I know you?
You can tell her by her big ears.
Hey, Jimmy, what you doing out here on the porch?
Oh, hi, Icky. I'm waiting for somebody. Boy, what a mess. First, I haven't got a date at all. Now I got a date with some middle-aged spook.
Gosh. Who is it?
Mrs. Cougat, the wife of that old man who's in there teaching everybody the bunny hug.
Oh. He's teaching him something called a Charleston now. Oh, here comes somebody.
Oh, it's probably the old bat. Boy, would you look at that?
Well, the whistler. Are you waiting for me?
I sure am. Hey, Icky, if Mrs. Cougat comes, tell her I couldn't wait.
Why don't you tell her yourself, Jimmy?
How'd you know my name is Jimmy?
Because my name is Mrs. Cougat.
Oh, well, we don't have to be so formal. What's your first name?
Mrs. Cougat.
I guess she told you, Jimmy.
Never mind, Icky. Let's go in and dance, baby.
Baby, yeah? Now let's get one thing straight, Jimmy. I'm old enough to be your sister. Now, come on, let's go in and find Sally and George, darling.
If you don't want to dance with Jimmy, how about me? Dreamboat?
Oh, are you corny?
No, I'm Icky. Corny's inside.
Sorry I started it. Come on, Jimmy. We'll go and take care of our little problem.
Hey, there they are over there, sitting on the sofa with their backs to us.
Quiet now. I want to hear what they're saying.
Oh, it was wonderful the way you taught everyone to dance, George.
Oh, it was nothing Arthur Murray couldn't do.
Oh, brother. He's the only man Arthur Murray ever gave his money back to.
Oh, it was wonderful. You're so smart. You're smarter than Dr. IQ.
Give that lady a box of Snickers.
Liz.
Mrs. Cougar.
I'm going to push that lady off the balcony, Doctor.
Here's somebody to see you, Grandpa.
You kids better run along. Grandpa has some explaining to do to Grandma.
But George was going to be my partner in the Big Apple.
That's where he belongs, in a Big Apple, the worm.
Liz, well, why are you so mad at me? The whole thing was your idea.
Well, you didn't have to be so enthusiastic about it. I've heard what's going on here tonight, George, darling.
Well, whatever you heard is a lot of nonsense, isn't it, Sally?
Yes, George, darling.
That does it.
Oh, Liz, you're being ridiculous. All the people are watching.
I don't care.
Well, I do. Care to dance, Sally? Oh,
I'd love to, George.
Pay everybody attention. We're going to play post office.
Post office, George.
Do you know how to play post office, Mrs. Cougat?
Know how?
When I was your age, they used to call me Jim Farley.
Now sit down, everyone. Now the closet will be the post office, and I'll go first. Icky Williams has a letter for Janie Wilson. Oh, come on, Janie, into the closet.
Well, they're taking long enough.
Wow.
What took you so long, Icky?
We got our braces locked.
Yeah, that happens. Who's next in the post office?
Let's see. George Cugat.
Okay.
Tell me who the letter's for.
It's for...
Mm-hmm. All right, go on in the closet. Okay, George Cugat has a letter.
Let me buy, Jimmy. Huh?
Oh, it's for Sally Hopkins.
Uh-oh.
That letter's for me!
Oh, step aside, please. I'm his regular route. That letter's been returned for insufficient postage.
But that isn't fair. If I don't go in, he'll be disappointed.
Don't worry. If he's expecting a penny postcard, he won't be disappointed with an airmail special delivery.
Mrs. Cugat, I don't know if I can let you go in there.
Open the door. Neither rain nor sleet nor Icky can stop this courier from her appointed rounds.
Is that you, Sally?
I'm waiting.
Look, Sally, do me a favor. Just stay in here with me a few minutes. I'm not going to kiss you. I just want to make Liz jealous.
Oh, George, darling.
Oh, now, don't be silly, Sally. You know I didn't want to stay here at all tonight. You see, I'm married to a wonderful girl, and I have no desire to kiss anyone else.
Oh. Well, then I'll kiss you.
You shouldn't have done that.
Do I kiss better than your wife?
I can't tell. Kiss me again and I'll tell you.
Why, George Cugat.
I knew it was you when you kissed me, Liz.
You did?
Sure.
Oh, George, you're wonderful. No, don't go out yet. I have a whole slew of letters to mail.
They might be getting impatient, Liz. We'd better get out of this closet.
Oh, all right. Okay, who wants to send the next letter?
Hey, where is everybody?
Oh, George, the party's over. Everybody's gone home. Come on, let's get back in the closet.
Are you asleep yet?
Not quite. Why?
I can't remember if you kissed me goodnight.
I can't remember either.
Oh!
Well, what's the matter?
You can't even remember if you kissed me goodnight.
Well, you can't either.
Well, that's different.
Here, I'll kiss you to make sure.
All right. Make it another one of those airmail special deliveries.
Okay.
Oh, George, kiss me again, and this time don't write, telegraph.
My Favorite Husband has been presented through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
There's a lot of people walking by tonight. There's a lot of people outside.
You know, it's beautiful, but what are they doing at 1 in the morning on Michigan Avenue?
They're walking by, and we're waving to people, and they're giving us the thumbs up. I had one guy give me two birds a couple of weeks ago.
I know, but at least he was looking at
you. I waved to him, and he gave me the birds, both birds. He was...
You know, I told you why.
Why?
Because you were,
I waved.
Yeah, but you were waving very excitedly.
He got angry and gave me the birds.
Because I think he thought you were being sarcastic. Oh, like you were like practically jumping up and down and waving
him
down.
I like to wave to the people.
You were
anyway,
being very enthusiastic about the wave.
That's My Favorite Husband, Lucille Ball on that, along with Richard Denning. I'm pretty sure that was Janet Waldo as Sally Hopkins on that, you know, the giggly girl. I'm pretty sure that was Janet Waldo because I think she played Emmy Lou on The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. She was always that kind of same character. Pretty sure that was her. That was My Favorite Husband, November 20th, 1948. George attends a teenage dance, and it was a lot of fun. I love that show.
I love
great
that show.
Great series. All right,
we'll play that more.
Yeah, we will. Let's take a quick break, and then it's more on the WGN radio. All right, when we come back from the news, we will play Bold Venture with Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. They had their own production company called Santana Productions, and one of the things they did back in the late 1940s, early 1950s, is created a radio series that they both starred in. They got to go to work together, and, you know, I don't know. If I was married to Lauren Bacall back then, I would have been, let's just stay home all the time.
I think it's a lot of together time.
You know, I would have been like, Lauren Bacall's my wife, and she's like 24 years old. I'm not putting her to work, you know? I'm just like,
this way they work together.
Let's listen to radio at home
that
and let's watch TV.
That way they can keep their eye on each other.
And,
work, and how would they afford their house?
Play post office.
Okay.
That's all I would have done. She was something, man. Lauren Bacall was absolutely gorgeous, beautiful woman.
Well, maybe that's why he wanted to work with her.
And she was a great actress. Yeah. Humphrey Bogart, here's looking at you, babe. Right? Or something like
kid.
That. What did it say? Kid? Who's the hair looking at you, kid? Yeah. Maltese Falcon, one of the best detective movies of all time. He starred in that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. We had someone text us and say they're in Rhode Island on a boat.
We had
high out there in Rhode Island on a boat.
We had somebody from the Philippines.
Yeah,
we
that's
had
right.
somebody from the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah,
all over the country, which is really
that's
neat.
The beauty of WGN Radio. This signal,
AM,
it's like
at night.
Yeah, it's like boom shakalaka.
It's just like
it's
that.
Way out there.
Yeah,
and the people from Rhode Island on the boat. They asked if we do this classic radio shows every Sunday. Well, guess what? We do it every Saturday and Sunday. We're here every Saturday and Sunday from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. Central Time.
I told them already.
Oh, you did?
I got you covered.
Well, thanks.
Thanks.
So I think this might be their first time listening.
Yep.
All right, so
make sure to like us on
ahoy.
Facebook. Hey, you guys.
Ahoy out there.
We are 17 people away from our big, huge goal on Facebook. So if you haven't already liked us, we would appreciate if you liked us. If you have already liked us,
thank you. Don't unlike us.
Exactly.
Or unfriend us or whatever.
Yeah, we're all one big happy family.
We appreciate everyone. Like someone texted us yesterday and said that they were our first like. Thank you so much.
Isn't that nice?
All of our likes. Thank you so much
for
liking us.
That one is pretty extra special.
Yeah. But if you haven't liked us yet, we're only like 17 away from 2,300.
Which is a really good place.
And then, you know what? We would leave Roger in the dust.
We've already left him in the dust, so it's okay.
Giddy up, little horsey. So please like us. Go to Facebook and search WGN Radio Theater. And then there's fun pictures up there, and please like us. All right, in this hour, it's Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall in their only regular radio series. It was called Bold Venture, and we have an episode from 1951. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming film Ocean's 8, a sequel and all-female spinoff of the Ocean's trilogy.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you hear about that?
No.
Oh, I bet
no
you'd
idea.
Like that, Carl.
Yeah, I would like that.
I thought
that.
So.
I like this actress. She's great.
I like that. Everybody likes this actress.
All right. Don't say her name now.
I didn't say it, but an all-female cast, I'm thinking you might be interested.
I would probably be first in line to see it.
And the winner will get a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
All right. Twilight Zone, 312-9. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played Katharine Hepburn in The Aviator.
Men can't be friends with women, Howard. They must possess them or leave them be. It's a primitive urge from caveman days.
That doesn't even sound like human.
Yeah. Who is that great actress? 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
And we're back. And this is the WGN Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Ha! Men can't be friends with women, Howard. They must possess them or leave them be. It's a primitive urge from caveman days.
Hey, we've got Bob on the line. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Good to hear from you. And I know you know who that actress is, so tell us who that is.
Kate Blanchett.
Kate Blanchett is exactly right. And Bob, we're so glad you called in. Yay. You've won a Twilight Zone 4 CD set produced by Carl and hosted by Stacey Keach. And we hope that you enjoy that. You can pop that in while you're driving or hanging out or falling asleep
Most
or whatever.
Most cars don't even have CD players anymore, you know?
They still
Crazy.
Do.
Yeah. Well, Bob,
does yours
enjoy
have a
it.
CD player, Bob?
I will. No, I don't. Not yet, but...
But it's on the way.
Yeah, right.
One click at Amazon, right?
There you go.
Thanks,
Take
Bob.
Take care. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Thanks for listening. And thanks to all of our listeners for staying up late with us. This is our third hour here on Sunday, Monday. I call it Sunday, Monday,
that
and Saturday, Sunday. Yeah,
I like that.
We're here every Saturday and Sunday, 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. And, hey, you know what, folks?
What?
If we're talking to you and you're way, way, way outside the Illinois area, give us a text. Let us know where you're listening from, right? 312-981-7200. We had, as you said, Rhode Island. We had Pacific Northwest. We had someone from Canada.
The Philippines.
We had the Philippines.
In California.
Yeah. So, yeah, let us know. Give us a text. Tell us where you're listening from. 312-981-7200. This is a powerhouse station, Radio 720 WGN. Reaches about 40 states plus parts of Canada, but people also listen to us online. But
right.
It doesn't matter. Let us know where you're listening from, and we want to we'll monitor it for the rest of the show. We're going to be on for another 45 minutes, so we'll be able to do that, right?
We're going to monitor it,
and I think we're only like 10 or 12 away from our goal on Facebook. So please go to Facebook, search WGN Radio Theater, and like us. We'd really appreciate it. All right, time now for Bold Venture. Now, this was an adventure series. Husband and wife, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, produced it. And Bogart played the salty sea dog Slate Shannon, who owned a Cuban hotel where treasure hunters, revolutionaries, and other shady characters rented rooms.
What kind of characters?
Shady.
Oh.
Shady characters.
I misheard you.
His sidekick and ward was the sultry Sailor Duval, played by Bacall. And she tagged along with him as they encountered modern-day pirates and other tough situations while navigating the waters around Havana. And they were aboard his boat, the Bold Venture, Slayton's sailor experience adventure, intrigue, mystery, and romance. It was syndicated in 1951 and 1952 by the Ziv Company, and it was produced by Bogart's Santana Productions. We have an episode for you now called The Chinese Statue. It stars Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Here is part one of Bold Venture.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of intrigue and mystery.
You can't tell much about Havana from a boat tied up at the waterfront, me long, especially at night. But you like Havana.
It is a strange place. But to one who has lived her life in China, all other places are strange.
It won't be that way for long. There's a little bit of all the other places in Havana.
Mr. Shannon.
All right, I'll get your suitcase, Milo.
Oh, no. Oh, no, that is not it, Mr. Shannon. It is the other thing. Why did Sam Chu have me brought here to Havana?
You mean you don't know?
I know only in Shanghai a letter came to me from Sam Chu. A letter with money, with instructions. Then a man came with more instructions and took me away from Shanghai. Why, Mr. Shannon?
If I'd known you were in Shanghai, I might have brought you here myself.
What manner of man are you, Mr. Shannon?
I run a hotel, I own a boat. I meet freighters somewhere in the Caribbean. Because I have a client named Sam Chu who's in a hurry to see a girl named Milong.
Hello! Anyone aboard?
Yeah.
Is your name Slate Shannon, sir?
That's right.
Good. Excellent. Come aboard, Mickey. We'll talk to Slate Shannon. How do you do, Mr. Shannon?
Say, what is this? What do you guys want on my boat?
Let me hold the gun, Mickey, so Mr. Shannon can see it better. Good. You did that very well, Mickey. And you, young lady, how do you do?
Mr. Shannon, who are these men?
The lady asked a question.
We're friends of yours, Mr. Shannon, and hers. The closest friends you have in the world. Don't you think so, Mickey? Mickey can't talk. He just agrees with me. Don't you, Mickey? You see, what did I tell you?
Now that I know who you are, off the boat.
You hear that, Mickey? He wants us to get off the boat. To pick up the thread of the conversation, Mr. Shannon, what we want is the statue, the Kuan Yin the lady brought with her from China.
You know what they're talking about, Milong?
I have brought nothing from China. A suitcase. That is all I brought from China.
Does that end our conversation, close friends of mine?
Mickey and I think the Kuan Yin is on this boat, Mr. Shannon. Don't we think that, Mickey?
Well, then ask Mickey where it is.
With my holding a gun on you, you say that?
Say, look now.
Go ahead, Mickey. Well done, Mickey. Easy, easy. There'll be other times, Mickey. Mr. Shannon will not disturb us for quite a while. So, young lady, where is the Kuan Yin?
I do not know what it is you want.
Search the boat, Mickey. Start with this suitcase. Now let us assume, dear young lady, that the Kuan Yin is not aboard. Where did Mr. Shannon stop this boat and hide it?
Do not touch me with your hand.
It offends you, my dear.
Yes. Yes.
You slapped Zender. You slapped Jeffrey Zender. That's most unfortunate. Most unfortunate. I detest killing. Now, I'm afraid, dear young lady, your body will be washed up upon some shore, and someone will wonder why.
King Moses?
Yes, Lady Sailor?
What's that you're playing?
Waiting type song. Waiting for Mr. Shannon type song. You are mad? King Moses will have melody written in stone, so it never dies.
Thanks. How long have you known Slate?
Longer than you. Longer than anybody. Anywhere.
How long?
Since many years. In Port-au-Prince, I see man walking on waterfront. A man. I sing song. He asks my name. I ask his. We attach ourselves each to the other.
And it's been good?
With Mr. Slate Shannon, it's the better than anything.
That's how it is, King Moses. What's that kind of music for? Chinese girl Slate's bringing back?
No, Lady Sailor. We are about to be honored with the celestial presence of Mr. Sam Chu.
He looks like he's just stepped out of a Chinese finger painting. Looking for me, Sam?
Oh, Princess, your exquisite face brings tears of delight to the unworthy eyes of Sam Chu.
Hi, Sam.
I bow to the fragrance of your beauty, Miss Gale Duval. Your presence lends enchantment to Shannon's place. Where is Mr. Shannon?
He hasn't come back yet.
Mr. Shannon told me he would have my cargo here at precisely this hour. In a matter of this nature, Mr. Shannon has been a man of the precise second.
Oh, don't worry about it, Sam. But what is the nature of this matter? Slate never told me.
It is a matter of bringing a girl from Shanghai.
Well, this I already know. But does your wife know?
Unfortunately, I am not blessed with a wife. However, of the girl from Shanghai, she brings with her the fabulous Kuan Yin.
Kuan Yin?
A statue. An idol.
That's more important than a girl from Shanghai?
Far more. Kuan Yin is a goddess. Priceless. Wondrous. I have made a girl suffer the ravages of a journey from China. The terrors of clandestine flight to bring Kuan Yin to me. When Mr. Shannon returns, have him bring the Kuan Yin and the girl to me immediately to the house of Sam Chu. Thus, I end the delight of your presence.
Likewise, I'm sure. Bye, Sam. King Moses.
Yes, Lady Sailor.
That Waiting for Mr. Slate Shannon song. Play it some more.
All right, Lady Sailor.
Uh-uh. That doesn't do it.
You go to doctor wait for boat to see what that does, Lady Sailor.
To see what that does, King Moses. Lie still, Slate. Won't hurt so much if you lie still with your head in my lap.
He was good, wasn't he? He went over me real good.
Who?
Man who was owned by another man who owned a gun.
I told you it would hurt if you tried to move. If you want anything, I'll get it for you. All you have to do is touch my hand.
You know about pain, huh, Sailor?
Not like yours. Other kinds I know about.
Like what?
If I ever tell you, throw me away. What happened to you, Slate? Why did somebody try to make you over?
They thought we had something called the Kuan Yin. Me and the girl. Hey, where is she?
There's no one else on the boat.
Sailor, they'll... Wherever they've got her, they'll...
Oh, don't think about it. They've bruised your mouth.
Give me a day and I'll have it like new.
There's another remedy, Slate.
Wasn't bad. Remind me to get some.
I'll remind you.
Help me up.
You must be out of your mind. When am I going to get another chance like this?
Help me up. Thanks.
You're welcome. Goodbye, Slate. Ask for me at Shannon's place. Maybe I'll be there.
Come back here. You're crazy like your father.
My father was crazy to will me to you when he died? What else could he have done with me?
He could have turned you over to decent people, to safe people. People who don't get beaten up, who go on Sunday picnics, walk in a park.
You're stuck with me, Slate. You hate it? You didn't answer me. Do you hate it?
I'll think about it.
Come on. Put your arm around my shoulder and I'll take you back to the hotel.
We call on Sam Chu.
But Slate, you're hurt. You can't go.
We call on Sam Chu. Tell him I messed up his mission. To ask him why I did.
Anything you want, Slate.
To ask him why he hired me to pick up Mi Long. Why she disappeared. Why a man beat me up for a statue I didn't have.
I can steer a fine course to the house of Sam Chu. Just keep the arm around my shoulder.
You have come about Sam Chu?
That's right.
Both of you?
The two of us.
That is strange.
Where is Sam?
Please come in. Your face, it has been hurt.
His face has been hurt, but he still wants to see Sam Chu.
You may call me Tamar.
Slate Shannon. This is Sailor...
Miss Duval.
You are strangers to the house of Chu?
I've never been here before. I know Sam pretty well. He never mentioned...
Me? There is no reason why he should. I am in his employ because of my knowledge of antiques.
What about your knowledge of a girl named Mi Long?
Mi Long? A Chinese girl?
Girl I picked up from a freighter and brought to Havana. A girl who's disappeared.
On the radio, as I was driving here to Sam Chu's, I heard of a Chinese girl.
Well, what about her?
Only that she was found in Havana Harbor, freshly dead from a bullet wound. Could this be your Mi Long?
I got a feeling this could be our Mi Long, Slate.
Yeah. Take us to Sam Chu.
You must understand. When I returned here a half hour ago, I disturbed my employer not at all.
This is a lady with a message, Slate. Do you get the message?
No, I don't.
Then you are not of the police? I called them.
Police?
Please. In this room. There. There on the floor.
Sam.
I know what. You're going to tell us he's dead, aren't you, Tamar?
Precisely. If you can bear to look, there is a silk cord about his throat. Isn't that unfortunate, Miss Duval?
All right, that's the first portion of Bold Venture with the Chinese statue. We'll get back to it in just a few moments.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Esmeralda. Thank you also, Roger. And we're tuning in to Bold Venture. And this is a broadcast from 1951. Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Here's the conclusion to the Chinese statue on Bold Venture.
To Bold Venture, our stars Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
Quite a sight, huh, sailor?
I've never seen a Chinese funeral before. Sam Chu and Mi Long.
Sam Chu and Mi Long. It was one of the toughest things I ever had to do, sailor, identifying Mi Long.
She was that lovely?
That lovely. Light some more firecrackers, sailor. Firecrackers to keep away whatever spirit she once kept away. Money thrown in her coffin to pay her way into whatever paradise she wants.
A paradise that's watched over by Kuan Yin?
Yeah. What's there about a Chinese goddess? What's there about a statue that makes people dead? Sailor. Sailor.
Look at her.
Yeah. Tamar. Tamar in a mandarin robe like...
Go ahead, say it, Slate. I'll agree with you.
Like an enchanted princess. I'll see you, sailor.
Where are you going?
To join the funeral. Get a princess to tell me a story.
Slate! Hey, wait for me! Slate!
A fascinating and pathetic spectacle, don't you think?
What? Oh, that's right. Fascinating and pathetic. Who are you?
If you don't mind, I am Jeffrey Zender.
I don't mind. That's your problem.
And you are Miss Duval.
And I am Miss Duval. How did you know?
Merely because the late Sam Chu pointed you out to me one day at Shannon's place, and I have never forgotten.
Oh, you knew Sam Chu?
Quite intimately. He was my business associate. Oh, would you care to join me in my own private manner of expressing grief over Sam's death?
All right. Yes, I would.
Sam's shop is just a few doors down.
I'd like to see how you grieve when a friend dies, Mr. Zender.
I noticed it was difficult for Mr. Shannon to tear his eyes away from the lovely and exotic Tamar.
Do you know her?
Only slightly. Here we are.
This place looks as if Sam collected all the loot in China.
Spurious loot. It's all fake. Will you sit down?
Thanks. Now grieve, Mr. Zender. I want to watch.
These statuettes you see on the shelves, all plaster. Mass-produced for the tourist trade. In all this rubbish, nothing so delicate or so desirable as a Kuan Yin.
Tell me more about this Kuan Yin, Mr. Zender.
About it? About it is that it's worth perhaps $250,000.
Oh, and there's nothing so delicate and desirable as $250,000, is there?
Quite. What is your theory as to where the Kuan Yin is?
Why should I have a theory?
I'll tell you why. A Chinese girl sails half around the world with a fabulous idol. Mr. Shannon is to deliver her to Sam Chu. She's killed. But suddenly, she doesn't have the idol. Why doesn't she have it?
How do you know all this?
For a reason. I killed the girl from China.
I see.
Of course you do not see. Else you would tell me where the Kuan Yin is. Where is it?
I don't know.
Will you tell me, Miss DeVoe?
I can't tell you. I don't know.
As you wish it. Mickey! Mickey, come in here. Ask her where the Kuan Yin is, Mickey. Be gentle, but firm.
I knew you would come back to me, Slate Shannon.
And we both knew it, didn't we, Tamar?
I saw you when you were watching the funeral procession. It was a very long funeral, and all the time your eyes were on me, as they are now. You find me desirable?
An understatement, Tamar. Guy wants a lot of things. Some of the best Mark don't touch.
I am not fragile, Slate. I will not break. You may touch me.
Anything you say.
You see, I am not an illusion. Here, I will show you.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
It is said the goddess Kuan Yin could kiss a wound and make it vanish. The image of her is believed to be just as miraculous by some. It is a pity she has been lost, is it not?
Yeah. Maybe if Kuan Yin weren't so miraculous, the girl I picked up at sea, Mi Long, would still be alive. And Sam, too. This Kuan Yin, does it kiss away dying, Tamar?
If you gave her to me, gave me the Kuan Yin.
Yeah, well, what makes you think I've got it?
Because a man like you, it would have been simple to steal from Mi Long.
Yeah, it would have been, but I didn't think of it. Also, she didn't have it. Now it's your turn again.
I don't believe you. I don't believe...
Besides the miracles, how much will the Kuan Yin bring in Yankee dollars tomorrow?
The Kuan Yin image is a symbol of the tears of Mother China. Your having her is a desecration.
Oh, where did all the gentle go tomorrow? Look, if I had the Kuan Yin, maybe I'd give it to you. That would make us pals again, wouldn't it? You and me and Mother China.
Get out. Get out of this house. Your presence is insulting to the memory of the dead.
Yeah, we almost forgot about that, didn't we, Tamar?
Get out!
All right. Some other time, huh?
Mr. Shannon, he taken his boat on ride. Two fellas on deck. In shadows they hide. No beefsteak or lotion can start to erase the bruises they bumped on Mr. Shannon's face. Mr. Shannon, he
what
was...
What time is it, King?
Miss Sill is not back for 5 hours already.
I didn't ask you that.
No, you didn't ask me that.
Where could she be for 5 hours?
In Havana. In 5 hours in this Havana, you get born again and live again.
Oh, she's never been away from me this long. As long as she's been here.
Lucky fellow, you, Mr. Slade. So beautiful is Miss Sailor. She... Look, Mr. Slade.
Yeah, I see him. You want something, Chico?
Por favor, yo quiero, Señor Shannon.
Yeah, my name's Shannon.
Bueno. Un hombre, a man, he said to come here to this place and find Señor Shannon.
All right, all right. What man? What did he want?
No sabe what man. He say, go to here, this place, and tell Señor Shannon like this. Kuan Yin.
Kuan Yin?
Si, Kuan Yin. He say also, bring it. He say, bring it to shop of Sam Chu. He say, Señorita Duval.
Now, what did he say about the Señorita?
Not, Senorita will be there, that is all.
What man told you all this, Chico?
I do not know.
What man? What man told you this?
I do not know. I do not know. I swear it by my mother. I do not, senor. Un hombre on the street, he tells me to...
Okay. Okay. You did all right, Chico. Open up! Open up! Mr. Shannon, where is she? Where's Miss Duval? Come in, come in. You're very prompt, Mr. Shannon.
I asked you something. I asked you, where is she?
Ask politely, Mr. Shannon. This gun at your stomach says, ask politely. Come. Miss Duval is in the back room. Through this litter of Sam Chu's vulgar tourist art. Through beaded curtains. Also vulgar. Miss Duval. Mr. Shannon.
You all right?
Just on time, Miss Slate. These ropes keep doing things to my wrists.
Oh, they're bleeding. They're...
No comments, just on time.
Sure.
Not quite so fast, Mr. Shannon, not quite. You forget two things. One, this ugly little beast in my hand. Two, the exquisite Kuan Yin.
Oh, we barter, huh? I give you the Kuan Yin, you give me Miss Duval.
Precisely.
The man strikes a hard bargain, Slate.
Yeah, I remember. He's got a hammer named Mickey.
Mickey will trouble no one anymore.
Oh, he'll be washed up on the beach like me long.
Exactly. As flotsam. Or is it jetsam?
Jetsam.
I never can remember the difference. And now, Mr. Shannon, now that we've touched gloves, the Kuan Yin, please.
No, you just don't understand how it's going to be. First, I release Miss Duval. Then I take her home. Then you get the Kuan Yin.
You didn't bring it with you?
I left it at the hotel.
Why, I'll...
No, you won't. You kill Slate, no Kuan Yin. You hurt a hair on my head, no Kuan Yin. Isn't that how it is, Slate? If he hurts a hair on my head?
Maybe you need time to think it out, huh, Xander?
Tamara and I have waited this long. We will wait an hour longer.
Oh. You and Tamar. Who wound the silk around Sam Chu's throat, Xander? You? Tamar? I only asked because it was so professional.
Thank you. I did. It was necessary. So I did.
Sure. Just as a matter of curiosity, how much is the Kuan Yin worth?
$250,000.
Hey, you come expensive, sailor. Real expensive. Almost as expensive as this.
Fool! Take your hands off me. I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Try me.
Now you can untie me, Slate.
Yeah.
You did good.
Yeah. Now let's go, sailor.
Wait a minute. Look. Over there in the corner, that shining statue, like something lighted inside.
Hey, what do you know? It's the Kuan Yin.
Kuan Yin. It's beautiful.
Oh, leave it alone, sailor. It's beautiful. And it kills Sam Chu. Leave it alone.
It must have been here all the time.
The oldest trick in the world. Sam has something valuable, so he covered it with something cheap, plaster, like all these other phony plaster statues. If it hadn't fallen off the shelf during the fight, it would have been lost forever.
And the whole business, the girl from China, all of it, a little Chinese play staged by Sam Chu to trick whoever else wanted the Kuan Yin.
I'll leave it there, sailor. Let's go.
To Tamar?
To Shannon's place. The cops can have Tamar and the Kuan Yin.
You sure you don't want to go see Tamar?
To Shannon's place. You coming, sailor?
Take the wheel, Slate.
All right.
I like this. Night, moon, trade winds, boat.
You ought to like it. This boat cost me a lot of money.
I paid half, remember?
Yeah, that's what I said. You paid half. Take the wheel, sailor.
What's the matter with you?
I'm in pain. My mouth hurts. Take the wheel.
All right. It's bad, huh?
Awful.
Take the wheel.
All right.
Slate.
Yeah, sailor? Hey. Hey, who's got the wheel?
Be still, Slate. What can we run into in the middle of the Gulf Stream?
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
That's Bold Venture. Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall, broadcast from 1951, called The Chinese Statue. Great series, and I hope you enjoyed listening to that. We play them every once in a while here on the WGN Radio Theater.